Well, good evening. Everybody's had a great afternoon. Phony for a curveball tonight. Let's turn in our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 2. We're in 2 Samuel. What are you talking about? Well, we are. But we're going to take just a little detour tonight. As we looked at 2 Samuel 13 last week and just looked at kind of some of the struggles of David's parenting, specifically as we talked about the fact that in many ways he was what we might call a passive parent, and just seeing the issues that it caused in his family, and we're going to see him again. I thought it'd just be an appropriate time just to talk a little bit more specifically on the subject of parenting. Now, I recognize not everyone in this room tonight is a parent, so don't check out on me. I don't mean to be offensive, but I believe this is an important subject that we who are parents need to understand, even for the rest of us who may one day be parents or that day may be long gone, or we may never be parents. I think these are still important truths to know, to be able to share and minister to others as we have the opportunity to speak into their life. And really what we're going to look at, it applies to ministry as a whole. So whatever ministry we're in, these principles are valuable for us. We're just going to specifically apply them to parenting tonight. So I think the Lord has something for all of us. And again, I want to look at it kind of from a unique place. As we look at the prophet Ezekiel, but this is a place that's really ministered to me over the years. So let's pray, and we'll jump in. Father, we thank you again for your word, Lord. We just thank you for the principles and truths that you give us, Lord. And I just pray that you would use this tonight, Lord. You know where we are, different ministries that we're involved in, Lord. And I know we want to specifically kind of pinpoint that ministry of parenting, Lord, but I just pray you'd apply this to wherever we need it tonight, Lord. You know what we need to hear, so just as your spirit would speak, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. There used to be a show that aired on the Discovery Channel. I'm sure most of us are familiar with it. It was called Dirty Jobs. You remember that show? And it always began with the same type of introduction. It began, "My name's Mike Rowe, and this is my job. I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty, hardworking men and women who earn an honest living doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us. Now, get ready to get dirty." And then Mike Rose, you remember, would become sort of an apprentice, and he would join with those who did these type of jobs. Jobs like worm dung farmer, roadkill cleaner, pig farmer, sewer inspector, cow midwife, shark suit tester. And that was just a few of the things he was involved in. But as you go back and kind of review the list of all the different episodes that ever aired, there's one job that's missing. And I submit to us, it's the dirtiest. It's the most difficult of all jobs that truly makes civilized life possible. And that job is parenthood. You may have heard of the woman in the supermarket who was pushing a cart, which contained, among other things, a screaming little girl. And as the woman kind of proceeded down the grocery aisle, she kept repeating softly, "Keep calm, Doris. Don't get excited, Doris. Don't get upset, Doris. Don't yell, Doris." And a man was kind of watching with admiration. He finally came up to the lady, and he began to commend her for her patience in trying to quiet little Doris. And she replied, "Sir, I'm Doris." Right? Parenting is difficult. It's definitely not for wimps. In and of itself, it is a tough, difficult, dirty job. But do you know what makes it even more difficult for most of us in this room? That is seeking to be a Christian parent, seeking to raise your kids in a way that honors the Lord. That's a weight. That's a responsibility that a lot of parents in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, they don't have to bear that. But as followers of Jesus, it's a call that's been placed on our lives. And it's a standard that's so much higher than what the majority of people live under. And we recognize it's a call to more than just preparing them to succeed in this world. It's ultimately about preparing them for eternity. And Paul, of course, speaks of this call in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 when he says, "But bring your children up in the training and admonition of the Lord." And so as I said tonight, I want to just consider this call for a few moments. As we look at the call the prophet Ezekiel received to go to God's kids, to the children of Israel. And again, I know it's a strange place to kind of look at parenting, but in God's call to Ezekiel concerning the children of Israel, there are great principles. And there's a great application based on those principles in terms of God's call as parents to our own children. And really, if you think about it, it shouldn't be that strange when we recognize ministry is not confined to what happens inside a church building, right? Or even on a foreign mission field. Right? We sometimes define ministry too narrowly. Ministry is what happens in every arena of life. And I would say especially the home. Again, that's where I want to apply these things tonight. So again, let me set the stage. Can remind you the context here. Ezekiel, at this point in his life, has been taken captive by the nation of Babylon. He was taken prisoner by Nebuchadnezzar in 597 BC. Remember, it was the second of three deportations that Nebuchadnezzar made from Jerusalem. Daniel was taken in the first deportation. But unlike Daniel, Ezekiel wasn't placed in the court of the king when he was taken. Rather, he was just simply thrown in as a part of the settlement of the Jewish exiles there in Babylon. And so in chapter 1, there in Babylon, this is where Ezekiel receives this incredible vision of God's glory. It's an incredible revelation of who God is. It's one of the most incredible descriptions of the glory of God, really, in the entire Bible. And it's a vision that at the end of chapter 1 leaves Ezekiel with his face buried in the ground. And it's at this point, it's in that position that chapter 2 begins. And Ezekiel now begins to hear the voice of the Lord speaking to him, now calling him, commissioning him for ministry among the children of Israel in this foreign land. And so that's where we want to pick up. Actually, I want to kind of start at the end of verse 28 of chapter 1. It says, "So when I saw it," that is Ezekiel, this vision of the Lord, he says, "I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking," verse 1 of chapter 2, "and he said to me, 'Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you.' Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me, and he set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me." And so as Ezekiel is there face down before the Lord, and just in this other place of humility, the Lord begins to speak to him and tells him, "Ezekiel, stand on your feet." Because the Lord has something important to say to Ezekiel. He has an important call, a role for him now to carry out. In order for Ezekiel to receive that, he needed to be at attention. He needed to be on full alert. What God was calling him to demanded the utmost attention and focus. It was a serious call. And so Ezekiel needed to be alert. It said in that day that servants always stood before their masters. We kind of get that idea here. Ezekiel was to be before the Lord with that focused, that ready to serve heart. And when God calls any of us as his people to something, we recognize it's never to be taken lightly, especially when the hearts and souls of other people hang in the balance. That's a serious thing. And this is true as it pertains to the call of the prophet, and it's just as true as it pertains to the call of a parent. Parenthood is not something to be done half-heartedly. It's that to which we are to give our full attention to. We're to take very seriously what God wants to say to us about it. But you notice what God does here for Ezekiel before ever giving him one command, before ever giving him one direction in terms of his ministry, really before he can even stand up. We read here that he empowers Ezekiel with the Holy Spirit. It says there in verse 2, "Then the Spirit entered me." What God is going to call Ezekiel to, Ezekiel is not going to be able to carry out in his own resources, in his own strength. This is a divine task that requires divine resources. What Ezekiel was to do is going to come in just a moment. But first, God answered the question of how Ezekiel was to do it. And the answer, again, was by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think we recognize that's the exact same answer to how the call of parenting is to be carried out. You know, we often think of the need of the filling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit just for certain things. Again, we limit it, right? If you're going to teach a Bible study, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? If you're going to go out street witnessing, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're going to go on a mission trip, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's when the filling of the Spirit's important. But for parenting, I mean, come on. Right? That's not really applicable, is it? And I submit to us, we often define too narrowly what Jesus said to his disciples when he told them there in Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. We read that word, you'll be a witness. We take that to mean, okay, if I go out witnessing, then I need the Holy Spirit. But I submit to us, that word means more than just what we think of as evangelism. It means simply reflecting the life of Jesus wherever we are and in whatever we're doing. And Jesus says the Holy Spirit has been given to us that we might have power to live out his life, the life of Jesus as his representative, no matter what environment that we're in. I think the Apostle Paul even makes this more clear as he specifically relates the filling of the Spirit with the environment of the home. I know we don't turn to a lot of different places most of the time, but I want to ask you, and hold your place in Ezekiel and turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, not because you don't know this verse, but I just want you to see, again, the context. Just recognize where this verse finds itself in Paul's letter, Ephesians chapter 5. Because I think moms and dads so often can get so beat down and tired just trying to carry out this call, feeling so burdened, trying to live up to God's standard as a parent. So in Ephesians chapter 5, again, we'll start in verse 15. Again, very familiar words. Paul says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then verse 18, verse that we're very familiar with, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And in verses 19 through 21, Paul goes on to give some examples of what it looks like, what will flow out of our life when we are filled with the Spirit. Again, this very important scripture we know, this call to be filled with the Spirit. And we've been taught, again, this is a command, it's not an option, it's an imperative, and it's also in the present tense. So it literally means be continually filled. It's something we need ongoing in our lives. But have you ever noticed what Paul goes on to address next? Right after this call to be filled with the Spirit. This is what I want you to see. He goes on then to speak of the relationship between a husband and wife. He goes on then to speak of a relationship between children and parents. And he goes on to speak of the relationship, what we would apply today, employers and employees. Paul's command to be filled with the Spirit precedes his teaching on carrying out everyday relationships. I think what Paul's drawing our attention to is the fact that the Holy Spirit, again, is not just for people whose paycheck comes from a church. That's not the only ones who need the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's for everyday living. It's for our everyday relationships. Paul is drawing our attention to the fact that the fundamental element of all relationships is to be filled with the Spirit. Without this, we can't be godly spouses, we can't be godly workers, and we can't be godly parents. Again, you can flip back. Paul reminding us, God doesn't expect you and I to bring up our kids in the training and the admonition of the Lord all the while, yet on top of that, trying to feed them and clothe them and get them to practice. He doesn't call us to do all that in our own strength. Yes, as parents, we have a high calling, but God doesn't give it without also making available a higher power to carry it out. And we see that here with Ezekiel. Before he received his call, he received his equipping. And now verse 3, back in chapter 2. And he said to me, son of man, I'm sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day, for they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. So notice this call that Ezekiel now gets. This ministry he's given is not to the pagan Babylonians whose land he's in. That's a great mission field, right? But that's not who Ezekiel is specifically called to. He's called to God's kids. I'm calling you, he says, to the children of Israel. Now, that's not to say God didn't want to reach those in Babylon. Of course he did. He wanted to see them come to himself. And we know one of those who did was Nebuchadnezzar. But first and foremost, God wanted Ezekiel to minister to those of his own household, the Jewish people. And ultimately, I submit to us, that's God's call upon those of us who are parents. Yes, we live in a very pagan land. It's becoming more and more like Babylon every day. We know that. We see that. We feel that. We experience that. And there's many places we can invest our ministry, and we should invest our ministry in this culture today. But we have to remember our number one call is to those in our own household. Our first priority is to our own family. And did you notice how God describes his children there to Ezekiel in verse 4? He says, "For they are impudent and stubborn children." The word impudent can also be translated hard, difficult, obstinate, and stiff-necked. But the word stubborn has the idea of hard as in a hard heart. It can also be translated strong, but it's in the case like someone who has a strong will is the idea. And you read that description, doesn't that describe the heart of kids exactly? Maybe you got better kids in your home than I do, but at least in my kids. Because the fact is, it describes all of our hearts. You know, the psychologist who says, you know, kids are just naturally sweet and tender-hearted, they're just a giant blank slate. I say that person's probably never had kids. I mean, kids come into this world with a bent, and it's not in the right direction. A child comes into this world with their sin nature fully in gear. As David, who we've been studying, he wrote in Psalm 51, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." The Bible teaches that every person is born with a sin nature. Every person is born with a desire to exalt self. And it's obvious when you watch kids, right? They don't need any instruction on how to be selfish. They don't need any instruction on how to be stubborn or rebellious. You just watch what happens when a three-year-old doesn't get that sucker right in the checkout line at the grocery store, right? Or when that two-year-old gets his toy taken away from him. In fact, here are the 10 property laws of a toddler. Number one, if I like it, it's mine. Number two, if it's in my hand, it's mine. Number three, if I can take it from you, it's mine. Number four, if I had it a little while ago, it's mine. Number five, if it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. Number six, if I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. Number seven, if it looks just like mine, it's mine. Number eight, if I saw it first, it's mine. Number nine, if you're playing with something and you put it down, it automatically becomes mine. And number 10, if it's broken, it's yours, right? And God is warning Ezekiel that the hearts he's going to be ministering to are not going to be naturally receptive to the message and ministry he's bringing. And I submit to us how we need that warning as parents. Seeking to bring our kids up in the ways of the Lord and his word, it's not going to be an easy endeavor. That's why the role of a godly parent is so vital. I mean, God wouldn't have to command us to do this if it came easy. And when you factor in the culture around us, pulling at our kids, tugging on that sinful flesh that each one of them has by nature, that wants to reject everything the scripture stands for, we shouldn't be surprised at the enormity of the task we face. Because again, we know that battle in our hearts even as adults. So it shouldn't shock us. It shouldn't make us think we're doing something wrong, right? When our child doesn't go around 24/7 saying, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now, we know children are a blessing. The Bible says they're an inheritance from the Lord in Psalm 127. They're a gift. They make us rich. They are an incredible reward. But as Ezekiel is reminded here, ministering to their hearts is tough. And again, that's why the filling of the Spirit is so vital. And then at the end of verse 4, God finally, as we read, tells Ezekiel what his primary ministry is, what his call is. The Lord simply says, "And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God." Ezekiel's primary ministry was simply to speak forth God's word to these people. And speaking forth his word, Ezekiel would therefore be declaring the heart, the character of who God is, his commands. Ezekiel wasn't called to pass along his thoughts. He wasn't called along to pass his views, his preferences. He was to pass along the will and the standards of God. Ezekiel's agenda was already set in the ministry. And I submit to us, so is ours in the ministry of parenting. What's our call? What's our job description? To speak and live out God's truth to our kids. Not our plan, not our desires, but the Lord's. And one of the things you find as your kids get older, you find it's easy to want to begin to navigate them in your plans. It's easy to begin to fall into that trap. And so as they age, it requires many times much more intentionality and seeking discernment to know, okay, what's my desire for them versus what's really the Lord's. Because again, it's the Lord's that matter, as we know. Right? It's God's word. It's his direction that we're to be continually confronting them with. You remember when God spoke to Israel as they were about to enter the promised land, and he commanded them, Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 7, and all these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. We see God's heart that in every area of life, every part of life, God wants parents to be driving home, applying his truth, his word, before their kids. Again, not just a Sunday morning thing, not even just a Bible story before bedtime thing. We're to be speaking forth by our words and by our lifestyle the truth of God's word and his expectations in every facet of our daily living. Helping our kids view every situation they face through the lens, through the authority of God's word. Help them to see how God's word applies in every arena of life. So in ministry, whether in the church or ministry in the home, that's what we're responsible for. That's what Ezekiel was responsible for. You give them my word, Ezekiel. You tell them what I've said. That's your responsibility. And Ezekiel goes on, the Lord makes clear, it's ultimately all he's responsible for. Notice verse 5. He says, as for them, these that you're going to minister to, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. So Ezekiel's told the fact that he carries out God's will and speaks his word, God says, Ezekiel, it's not an automatic guarantee they're going to receive it. They may hear or they may refuse. But God says, whether they do either of those, Ezekiel, that's in their hands. That's upon them. But either way, they won't have any excuse because they've been told. Because you've been faithful. And God's really bringing out the fact to Ezekiel that these he's ministering to have a decision to make concerning what they hear. That they have a part to play in this as well. And again, as we make the application as a parent, this is so important for us to understand that this truth of ministry as it relates to ministering to our own kids. Raising our kids in the Lord and teaching them God's word is not some kind of formula. That if you do it just right, your kids will one day love Jesus and follow his word just like you do. I wish it was, but it's not. Now, we have great power, right, to shape that. We have incredible power, but our kids are human just like us, meaning they have a free will just like we do. And ultimately, it's up to them to make that decision. Now, of course, there could be no greater pain than for a child to reject the truth. No greater pain, no greater hurt. The fact is, the world's fighting hard to pull them away from that truth, to cause them to follow that sin nature. And so our response is, yes, I'm going to fight harder. I'm going to press in just as hard. The world's coming at them, but I'm going to be right there with them as well. And that's a right heart. But at the end of the day, they still have to choose. The truth is, I can only do so much. That's what the Lord was telling Ezekiel here. There comes a point where the ball is in their court. They have to decide. Again, we've each been given a free will, and no one can make the choice for us. I think it's such an important principle to get a hold of because there are a lot of godly Christian parents who are crippled with incredible guilt and a sense of failure that somehow they did something wrong. Somehow they failed the Lord because their kids who were sincerely raised in the things of God are now walking in total rebellion to those things. And the enemy is beating them up over this. And we need to know that success in any ministry, including parenting, is not measured by results. I mean, in the Bible, we have examples of godly parents whose kids went the opposite way. We studied one several months back in 1 Samuel, right? The prophet Samuel, one of the most godly men in the entire Bible, and yet we're told, 1 Samuel 8:3, but his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. And you think about King Hezekiah, right? In 2 Kings, one of the most godly kings of Judah, and yet he had a son by the name of Manasseh, who went on to become one of the most wicked kings of Judah, such that it said of Manasseh, he seduced Judah to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. Basically saying he was worse than the Canaanites. All the while we read this of his dad, 2 Kings 18:6, that Hezekiah held fast to the Lord, and he did not depart from following him, but he kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. Dad committed to the things of God, committed to the truth, and yet this son committing more wickedness than the nations who were driven out before Israel. It's a reminder for us, we need to realize raising godly kids is not like making a cake. You can put in all the right ingredients, and the end product may not be all that we intended. One author put it like this. They wrote, "We are not sovereign over our children, only God is. Children are not tomatoes to stake out or mules to train, nor are they numbers to plug into an equation. They are full human beings, wondrously and fearfully made. Parenting, like all tasks under the sun, is intended as an endeavor of love, risk, perseverance, and above all, faith. It's faith rather than formula, grace rather than guarantees, steadfastness rather than success that bridges the gap between our own parenting efforts and what, by God's grace, our children grow up to become." And the Lord's reminding Ezekiel here. Ezekiel, it's not the results you're going to be held accountable for. It's simply your faithfulness to do what I've called you to do. It goes on in verse 6 and says, "And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house." Now, does that not apply to kids? I mean, living with kids can be like living among thorns and dwelling with scorpions. I'm just saying. And the word of the Lord to Ezekiel is, don't be afraid of their words and their looks. And if looks could kill, some of you parents would be dead right now, right? And if words were like bullets, some of you might, you know, look like Swiss cheese. And because of this, again, we're human too. We can easily fall into this trap of fear because of how our kids may respond back to us by trying to lead them in the things of the Lord. And we can allow that fear to keep us from being the parents God has called us to be. Because we talked about this last week some with David. It can cause us to kind of step back and kind of become that passive parent because we're afraid. Well, if I hold them accountable to God's standards, or if I discipline according to them to God's standards, they're not going to like me. Or they're going to make horrible threats against me, or I may drive them into rebellion even more. And in that pressure and in that temptation, because of that fear, what happens is we can easily begin to lower the standards in our home. We can lower God's expectations. But God says here, knowing the pushback that may come, he says, "Ezekiel, don't be afraid. Don't let their response keep you from doing what I've told you to do." He goes on to verse 7, and it says, "And you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious." And God, again, just driving home the fact, Ezekiel, you can't change people's heart. You don't have the power. Their hearts are naturally rebellious. Ezekiel, you can't convert them. Right? That was out of Ezekiel's skill set. Only the Holy Spirit can change hearts. Only he can convert souls. And even the Holy Spirit can't do it alone. He must have the willing consent of the person who's to be changed. And that consent is, again, what each person will have to answer for themselves. And so the Lord is encouraging Ezekiel in this. But he goes on to say in verse 8, "But you, son of man, here's your responsibility. Hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. So God tells Ezekiel, you're not going to be judged based on how those you minister to will respond. You're only accountable for your obedience. Again, to speak what I've told you to speak. And I imagine that had to be a load off of Ezekiel's back. I mean, that's a huge weight to be carrying. Not that Ezekiel didn't desire the people to turn their hearts to the Lord. Of course he did. But how freeing to know that success in God's eyes wouldn't be based on the results, but simply on Ezekiel's faithfulness. And again, when it comes to ministry, and specifically as we're applying it tonight, when it comes to ministry of parenting, that's all any parent is going to have to give an account before God over. It's good to know, and God isn't looking for perfection. He's not looking for perfect parents, because there is no perfect parent, but one. And we're reminded even his kids rebelled. The issue is, have I sincerely and faithfully, to the best of my ability, spoken and lived out God's truth in the lives of my children? That's what we're accountable for. Now, don't miss at the end of the verse there, verse 8, that Ezekiel is told something very, very important. He's told the only way he can speak forth God's word is if he's taking in God's word. And so Ezekiel is told there to open his mouth and eat what I give you. And we see now what he's given. Verse 9, Ezekiel says, now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me. And behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, and written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. He's seeing a copy of the scroll, of God's law, God's word. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. And verse 2 says, so I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. What God's doing here is he's giving Ezekiel a very tangible expression of God's heart for his word to permeate every part of Ezekiel's life. All right, Ezekiel, if you're going to be able to share these things with the people, they've got to become a part of you. And that's what this represented. And we know, just eating paper, right, does us no good. Right, him just taking this and eating it, I mean, unless maybe his diet was lacking fiber or something. Other than that, right, this paper is not going to do Ezekiel a whole lot of good physically, but we understand this is not a call we're supposed to literally eat God's word. It was a physical representation of a spiritual reality. When we eat something, what happens is that food becomes a part of us. What we eat gets distributed to every part of our body for strength. This was the effect. This was the permeation that God was showing Ezekiel he wanted his word to have in Ezekiel's life before he would be able to give it to the children of Israel. Ezekiel, my word's got to be in you. It's got to consume you. So now you can give that out to those I've called you to minister to. And again, in applying this in the ministry of parenting, if we're to minister God's word to our kids, it means we have to be feeding on that word for ourselves. We can't give out what we don't put in. Now, we can talk a good game, right? We can put on a good front. We can wear a good mask. But as you know, our kids will see through that facade. Right? They're not tricked by that. Now, that will be what can turn them away from the Lord, right? That type of hypocrisy. It's not our failures. It's not the fact that we're imperfect and we make wrong decisions at times and we're sometimes maybe we're too harsh or maybe we're too soft. Those things can be forgiven for real, for honest, we confess. It's when we pretend to be something before our kids and we're not. We put expectations upon their life that we don't even have any desire to follow for ourselves. That's what hardens our kids' hearts. That's what leads to rebellion. Not being imperfect, not messing up, not sinning. And so what the Lord wanted for Ezekiel, and again, what he wants for us, is that God's word's got to be in us. We have to be consumed with it ourselves. It can't just be a verse we quote. It has to be a part of every area of our lives. It's been said, to bring up a child in the way he should go, you must travel that way yourself.
It's great wisdom. And so this is what the Lord was reminding Ezekiel, as he would minister to the children of Israel, and it's what the Lord, I think, would want to remind us as parents tonight. And again, my goal in using this passage is not to make out kids to be nothing more than a bunch of heathen thugs that only want to do evil. Okay, I don't want that to be the connection on these rebellious kids and scorpions. No. As we stated earlier, the Bible makes clear children are a gift from the Lord. They're a heritage from God. They're not a burden. They're a blessing. But this passage, I think, is for us just a good reminder that ministry is not easy. Whatever ministry we're in. The call to serve the Lord when people are involved is difficult. It's a dirty job. And that specifically, I think, applies to being a mom, being a dad, because it is a calling. It's a high calling. It's a ministry that's no different from any other ministry. As a mom, as a dad, you're not just a cook. You're not just a taxi driver. You're not just a launderer. You're not just, you know, somebody to bring home a paycheck. You are a minister of the Most High God in your home. And God wants us to know there are very high stakes involved, eternal stakes. And he won't always be well received. There will be pushback. And that fear will creep in. That temptation to kind of back off a little bit will creep in. But God has given us his word, right? He set the agenda. He's told us what we're responsible for. He's told us what we are to do, and that's what we're going to be accountable for. That's what he's called us to walk in. And not only has he called us what to do, but just as important, just as we see with Ezekiel, he's given us his spirit. Right? He's given us the strength. He's given us the power to do it, to be able to faithfully carry out that call. And then to know, maybe even just as important, when we falter, right? When we do mess up, when we do drop the ball, when we do act in the flesh and our self gets in the way, which it does so many times, to know we have a merciful God. We have a gracious God who's there to step in, right, and make up for our mistakes, to make up for our failings, to redeem them, and get us back going again. I end with this scripture, just this encouragement, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11 says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm. He will carry them in his bosom. And then this is encouraging word, and he will gently lead those who are with young. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again just for your word tonight, Lord, and just this quick detour. God, there's a lot of parents in this room, Father, Lord, who need your encouragement tonight. Lord, that they're seeking to honor you. They're seeking to have a home that exalts you, Lord. And it's hard and it's difficult, God. It's not something the world applauds. It's not something the world supports, Father. And yet they're seeking to be faithful to you, Lord, to raise up a righteous generation. And so I just pray you would just bless each mom, each dad in this room tonight, Lord, that you would just pour out your spirit upon them afresh and anew, God. You would give them power from on high to be able to carry out this call, to know you've not called them to do it in their own strength, God, but you've made the provision. Lord, would you fill them afresh with your Holy Spirit right now? Lord, and I pray that you would just give them strength to not grow weary in doing good, Lord, to continue to make your word the priority of their home. And no matter what the culture says, no matter what the pushback might be, they would continue to stand on your truth, Lord, pointing their kids to you, Father. And Lord, no matter the response that's happening in their home right now, Lord, whether it's favorable, Lord, we praise you for that, but whether it may be a rebellious spirit, Lord, that they're encountering, that they wouldn't grow weary, they would continue to stay faithful to you, Lord, knowing that you will use your word. Your word does not return void. And Lord, you would use it in the hearts of their kids, Lord. And for any of our kids tonight, Lord, who may have be wandering away from you in spite of our heart and our faithfulness to pour into them, Lord, would you just encourage us as parents tonight in that, Lord, that you see that child, your heart, Lord, Lord, your desire for them to come back is so much greater than any earthly parent's heart. And Lord, you would bring them back. Lord, and you keep the enemy from just bringing condemnation, Lord. And Father, Lord, that they could just rest in you, that they've been faithful to do what you've called them to do, Lord. And again, not perfect, Lord, you don't expect perfection, Lord, but they've been faithful. And Lord, you're going to honor that, and you're going to use that and help them to be able to rest in that, Lord. So God, we just commit this to you, Father. We just pray over our homes that they would honor you and glorify you in all ways, in all things, God. Thank you for the instruction you give us in your word, Lord. And whatever ministry we're called to tonight, Lord, may we take these principles and apply them in our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.